He was a captain of a slave ship. And he saw firsthand man's inhumanity to man. Amazing grace. What makes grace amazing? Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:10 through 18, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. What an indictment. Houston, we have a problem, right? Yes, we have a problem. But God has a solution. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Grace. Grace is first mentioned in Genesis chapter 6, verse 8. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. How? What did he do? It says in the Bible he was a just man. He was perfect in his generation. And he walked with God. He was a just man. That means he was justified. He was righteous. But Romans 3:10 says there is none righteous. No, not one. Is that a contradiction? Righteousness is spoken of in three different ways. The first is the righteousness of God. God is righteous. Is God righteous because of the things he does, or are the things that God does righteous because he does them? You can chase that around a tree for a long time, probably. Actually, I tend to think it's the latter. Whatever God does is righteous because he is righteous. The second one is the righteousness of the natural man, the man that's not saved, the man that's in the world, the man that claims, I'm a good person. Have you ever heard that? I'm a good person. I'm 53% good and only 47% bad, so I'm going to heaven. God doesn't grade on a curve, does he? If you're 1% or a half a 1% bad, you're not going to make it because you can't exist in the presence of a holy God. Isaiah 64:6, our righteousness is as filthy rags. The third one is the righteousness that is imputed to believers by faith. It's positional. It's what we are in God's eyes because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us. The gift of God. He was perfect in his generation, it says. Strong's Concordance has that number, that word perfect is number 8549. In Hebrew, it's tamim. It means uncontaminated. In fact, we get the word uncontaminated from tamim. Is that talking about he was perfect? perfect in his generation. I believe it was because everybody else that lived, except for Noah's family, was defiled by the fallen angels, by the blood. His blood was still pure. He walked with God. Two people in the Bible, it says they walked with God. One is Noah and the other is Enoch. There may have been others. I'd like to think that there are some others that walked with God, but those are the only two that are mentioned. Abraham was a friend of God. Moses was a man of God. David was a man after God's own heart. I'd like to be all of those. To walk with God is every step. Every step you take, you're with Him. In step with Him. I remember in basic training being told many, many times to get in step. Someone else has been there. Get in step. Everybody else is out of step but me. Nope. Noah walked with God. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Did he find grace because he was just? Did he find grace because he was perfect in his generations? Did he find grace because he walked with God? Or was he just, perfect, and walked with God because of grace? Yeah. We can't create our own grace, can we? Ephesians 2, 4 through 9. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And have raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's God. What makes grace amazing? Like all the provisions of God, grace is lavished on us. There's no such thing as a little bit of grace. God is not a miser. What makes grace amazing? 1 John 4:19 says he loved us first before we loved him. He loved us from everlasting. Before we were, he loved us. Romans 5, 6, and 8 says, while we're yet without strength, Christ died for us. While we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for us to clean up our act and come to him. No. He opened the door first. What makes grace amazing? Romans 5:20 says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. We can't out-sin his grace. Does that mean we should go ahead and sin? No. Paul makes that very clear several times in Romans. No, he says, Lord, help us know. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Isaiah 55:7, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Abundantly pardon. That literally means ever-increasing amounts each time we come. There's always enough grace when we fall. what makes grace amazing. I don't have to look any further than myself to find an answer to that question. 35 years ago, God decided I wasn't going to drink anymore. I had absolutely nothing to do with it. Nothing. He just reached down and took that out of my life. That's grace. Why would he do that for me? John Newton said when he gets to heaven, there's going to be three things that are going to surprise him. They're going to amaze him. The people that are there, the people that aren't there, and the fact that he's there. Because nobody deserves it, do we? It took me a long time to realize that it's not really about me as much as it's about him. And that's what his grace is all about, isn't it? It's about him. Because he has a purpose and a plan for each one of us. He says, I know the plans I have for you. Psalms 8:4. What is man that you thought that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you visit him? Who are we that he would extend such a wonderful gift on us as his grace? I think I've shared this before, but I'm going to share it again. There was an ad in the paper years ago about a lost dog. And this dog had just about everything wrong with it that could be wrong with it. He was lame in one of his legs. He was nearly blind. He was deaf. His tail had been cut off. He was neutered. And then it ended by saying, answers to the name of Lucky. In 2 Samuel 9:8, we meet a man named Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was a grandson of Saul. He was the son of Jonathan. David and Jonathan had a covenant. David promised by covenant. That's stronger than a promise. But he promised that he would take care of any of Jonathan's descendants. And he honored that. He asked one of his servants, he said, is there yet anyone of the house of Saul that I can show the kindness of God to? Yes, there's Jonathan. He's lame in both of his feet. So David said, bring him here. He's going to eat at my table continuously. What did Mephibosheth do to deserve that? Nothing. In fact, Mephibosheth said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Dead dog. Did he answer the name of Lucky? No, it's not about luck, is it? Our opening scripture spoke of Joseph. Joseph was a type of Jesus. There's many types of Jesus in the Bible, and Joseph is a very strong foreshadowing of the character of Jesus Christ. There are many similarities. He was favored by his father. He was pleasing to his father. He was hated by his brethren. He tended sheep. He was a shepherd. He was sold for pieces of silver. In his case, it was 20. Of course, in Jesus' case, it was 30. His brothers were going to kill him. And one of them said, no, I got a better idea. Let's sell him to these Ishmaelites that are coming in their caravan. Which brother was it? Judah. In Hebrew, it's Yehuda. Jesus was sold for 30 pieces of silver by a man named Judas. In Hebrew, it's Yehuda. Same name. He became a servant. Became a faithful servant. Everything he did prospered. He was falsely accused. He spoke not a word in his defense. Just like Jesus. He was in the company of a butler and a baker. Two other prisoners. I was thinking about that. That'd probably be a sermon for communion, a butler and a baker, because one of them is a cupbearer for the wine and the other bakes the bread, right? And I don't know. It's in there somewhere. Whether I could ever develop that or not, I don't know. Jesus, of course, was also in the company of two sinners. One was spared and one was not, just like the butler and the baker. One of them was set free. The other one was hung. Joseph was, after his humiliation, exalted and set on a throne. Joseph received a Gentile wife. What's that have to do with Jesus? That's us. We're his bride. Joseph wasn't recognized by his brethren. Joseph provided bread for the multitudes. And he became a savior for his people. He spoke of future events. And he warned of future events. You know, the list can go on and on and on. What makes grace amazing? There's another similarity. Jonathan Kahn, in his book of Mysteries, points this out. Our opening scripture is Genesis 39:20-22. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. Because he was in charge of them, it could be said that whatever they did, he could get credit for it. But this has a lot deeper meaning because, as I said, he's the type of Jesus Christ. The doer. Jesus became the doer for us. Our sins are forgiven, but Jesus didn't just forgive our sins. He didn't just cast them away. He took ownership of them. He became literally the doer of them. Isaiah 53:12, he was numbered with the transgressors and he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. See, it really is like we never sinned, isn't it? Isn't that amazing? Amazing grace. But we in turn are supposed to become doers too. We're supposed to become doers of his righteousness, doers of his work. And how can we do that? Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. God's grace. His amazing grace. Lord, we praise you and we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the love that you have for us. And we thank you, Lord, for your grace. Unmerited favor. we did nothing to deserve it. And we are so unworthy. But Lord, you are worthy. Because it is about you. Thank you for your word this morning. Lord, help us to keep it in our hearts. Help us to know and remember just how valuable we are to you. And may we realize just how valuable you are to us. You're everything, Lord. Our all in all. Help us to live for you. Help us to be doers of your righteousness. Doers of your love. Doers of your mercy. And of your grace. Bless this day, Lord, please. Bless your people. Keep us safe. And bring us back safely when we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, everybody, for coming. That concludes our service.